No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Edmonton Oilers' 4-2 victory over your hometown Winnipeg Jets. The Jets unable to capitalize and finish off the road trip with the homestand, pardon me, with a good vibe, dropping the handy decision after trailing 3-0 late in the third period. Dave M, good to see you. I hope the 6 hours and 40 minutes you've spent since we were last together have worked out well for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we did some work on illegalcurve.com. We got outside, enjoyed some of this balmy Winnipeg weather. It was pleasant not being able to open the door and then looking out the French doors in my den, and I was like, what's going on here? Like, I can't eat. Like, the snow is actually creeping up higher and higher. It would be fun to, if I was so inclined, to jump off of my garage and right onto the into some of these snow piles. But it is. I'm not one usually to lament the weather, but this is bizarre. This is just so much. It's just like we just don't get a reprieve this winter.
It sounds like it's at least a better idea than what I did with my wife and our kids. We thought that, yeah, it's, you know, blowing and it's a little blizzardy, but, you know, we enjoy going out to Fort White and spending some quality time there, you know, trying to snowshoe. And so we tried to do that, and we got all the way to Fort White. And we tried to put on the snowshoes, and then the wind was basically tipping us over as we were attempting to make that effort. So it was a little bit, you know, we managed to get outside. We got a little bit of a good walk in. We had a little bit of fun, but I'm not sure that our plans were necessarily well thought out. I would say the same, in fact, for the Winnipeg Jets in today's contest. Okay. Their plans weren't really well thought out either, as you play an Edmonton Oilers team and you only show up for maybe 10 minutes of the contest, it's no wonder that you end up dropping a 4-2 decision on home ice. This morning I asked you if this was a mirage, the 4-1-1 record, or if it was a real reality, if it was truly that they're back on the upswing. Certainly a step back with this afternoon's contest, and more of a mirage than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, 4-2-1, that would make them. So, yeah. I mean, it's not a terrible record since the All-Star break, but I think, as EKD points out in the chat, and I would agree with this comment, they said, anybody else think the game was going to be tough after that 5-on-3 power play debacle? Debacle is a good choice of words, because the Jets were a little overpassy and too fancy and whatever you want to call it. They weren't committed to doing it the right way. And unfortunately for them, it meant that they were, you know, going to be behind the eight ball a little bit. When you're given a 5-on-3 advantage against a team like Edmonton, they're playing well in the sense that they're feeling good about their game, but they don't have, you know, the best goaltender in the NHL. Although the Jets tend to make Oilers goaltenders look good, and their defense is still a work in progress. Yeah. So if that's the case, why is it that you're really not looking very effective on an opportunity? I mean, they call it a 5-on-3 opportunity, and the Jets turned it into anything but that. And Edmonton was able to build momentum from that point. And you could see it as soon as they look. I mean, what was it when they killed the first one off? Perlini who had the chance
Perlini
on
had a shorthanded. I mean, you have a 5-on-3 power play. Sorry for interrupting. You have a 5-on-3 power play. You managed to not get one shot on the 5-on-3 power play. And it wasn't like a 10-second 5-on-3 power play. It was a minute and a half. I mean, you don't get one shot on that 5-on-3. And the best scoring opportunity on that power in that power play sequence goes to the Oilers with Perlini on a breakaway, after he gets out of the box. I mean, I tweeted this. The Jets were just far too pass happy tonight.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling that you're pass happy rather than shot happy when you're playing against Mikko Koskinen, who has a save percentage all of 900 and a goals against average of 3.15. Your game plan, and Craig Button alluded to this in the first intermission as well.
He didn't hold back.
He didn't hold back. I like Craig for as honest as he's being on those broadcasts. You got to be shooting. Maybe Koskinen makes that first save on the 5-on-3, but, let me do some quick math. 5 is greater than 3. It's unlikely that there's not going to be a rebound, and the opportunity might come on the rebound there. Instead, you just pass it around nice and slowly, take your time, try to set up a perfect passing play that only also would register you one goal, no matter how beautiful it would end up being. Lo and behold, you get nothing, and boom, I think the TSN turning point in today's game was, happened within the first, 5-6 minutes of today's contest.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I'm curious as to how this guy is in the chat. I'm wondering if is that really Ezzy or is that a fake Ezra Ginsberg?
I'm going to say fake because I'm not sure that he has the skill set necessary to figure out how to join the YouTube chat.
Well, I think he would. I don't think he'd be capable of putting up a picture like that. But
that's true too.
But anywho, that was more my thought. But we know he's been in the chat before. I just don't remember if he was using a photo like that, his snappy photo. But anyways. I digress. Yeah, Drew. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's me, Ezzy. It's him, Ezzy, why the hell is he not on the show?
Don't. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the tranquility. Enjoy the opportunity for us to spend quality time together. A little bit of bonding between the two of us. Dave, there's a reason we're known as the brains of the operation, while Ezzy is the bronze of the operation.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Although Gary Lawless used to call me the wiry one of a legal curve, so I don't know what that meant, but anyways,
look, if we're talking about the things that Gary said that we don't know what the hell they meant, it's a longer show than we have time for on this Saturday afternoon.
Anyways, look, it's an uninspiring game from the Winnipeg Jets. And sure, you put yourself into contention with the Adam Lowry shorthanded goal and the Kyle Connor power play goal. Mm-hmm. But it's and I think I saw these words and I agree. It's too little too late from the Jets. You can't play a 10-minute game. And it's what we talked about. You were gift wrapped an opportunity to what was the thing I said to you this morning on the show? I said, this team needs to take advantage of having a good start. You're feeling good about your game. Mm-hmm. You've had time off. And instead of doing what they needed to do, which is, like I said, come out with a house on fire and actually get this team rolling, you bungled your 5-on-3 opportunity.
Yeah.
And instead of, it's just hard because you see that. And then Edmonton, you can see right away, it was like a light switch went off. Edmonton knew as soon as they didn't give up that goal on one of those two power plays.
Yeah.
You could just see it. And what was it? I think they finished out shooting the Jets 13-5 or
the shots in the first period at the end of 20 minutes were 15-5. And the Jets were fortunate that was only a 1-0 game. Right. After 20 minutes, and let's get into the goals in today's contest. Sure. Zach Hyman opens the scoring for the Oilers at the 12:17 mark of the first period. Talk about power play, talk about the special teams. It's a power play goal for the Oilers after the Jets are unable to capitalize. Dominic Toninato is in the box for hooking, and it's simple. This is just a straightforward play. Tyson Barrie at the point. Yeah. Zach Hyman, who played a whale of a game for the Oilers, I thought. Yeah. I thought he might have even been the best Oilers player, as good as noticeable as Dreisaitl and McDavid usually are. I thought Hyman was even more noticeable for the entire game. And he's in front of Connor Hellebuyck. He gets his stick on it, tips it past Hellebuyck. Nothing pretty, nothing fancy, nothing special. Get the shot through from the point, get a stick on the puck, get it past your goalie, and the Oilers lead 1-0 after 20 minutes. And the Jets are actually fortunate that it's only 1-0 after that 20, because really after the 5-on-3, not that the Jets were successful on that 5-on-3, the ice was completely tilted. I mean, Connor McDavid, that shift at the end of the first period for about a minute 10, where the Jets were just hemmed in their zone, and McDavid is skating it around and had a great opportunity. I'm shocked he didn't score on that backhand. But, the Jets, it was a terrible first period for the Jets. You're fortunate to only be down one. Is it an omen? Is it a sign of things to come for the rest of the game? Or is it an opportunity to recalibrate yourself and reset? Well, we know it was the former, not the latter.
Yeah, and initially I was like, why did Connor Hellebuyck not have that? But you're right, Drew. It was a beautiful tip by Hyman, and Connor Hellebuyck had really no chance. But why is
Brian Hyman, somebody we both know in our personal lives,
the lawyer for the public guardian and trestee. I'm not so sure he'd be wondering why he's in front of the net. But yeah, but
what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, but Zach Hyman, on the other hand, he is there essentially unimpeded, right? And I'm because I was watching. I remember watching the highlight, and I'm thinking or the play. And again, you watch Hellebuyck because you're always trying to figure out, is Hellebuyck screened at any point? And I'm just I'm actually watching it now. And you got Stanley nowhere. Like he sees Stanley's out of position.
Yeah.
And then you've got DeMello who's trying to box out Draisaitl. So Stanley's caught in no man's land and Hyman is left wide open by himself. And it's what we've talked about. If you're, you know, it happened to the Jets against the Kraken on the first goal of the game, right? I think that was a power play goal as well on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was that nobody was boxing out the Kraken forwards. Well, similarly, Hyman is set up shop in front of your goaltender. It's not a screen. So it's not as if Connor Hellebuyck's eyes are taken away, but it's a beautiful tip. So Hellebuyck is in position, but Hyman has all the time and space to do whatever he wants. He set up shop. And as a result, you find yourself down 1-0.
Yeah, exactly right. And the Oilers controlled the first period and the Jets were on their heels and were slow to react and really weren't ready. I mean, they started the game fine. Obviously, they draw two penalties, you know, early in the game. Mind you, the Perlini penalty, which came at the 5:28 mark, that's an offensive zone penalty. This is Perlini. He's trying to do too much. His first game in the Oilers, you know, in the lineup for the Oilers since, I think, the end of January, give or take there. He's trying to do too much in the offensive zone, ends up getting the hooking call. And then the Hyman high sticking penalty 30 seconds later is just a bit of a careless stick. I can't even remember who the Jets player was. I think it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, if I'm not mistaken, who got high-sticked on that. And so, I mean, it's not like the Jets were, you know, dominating the game through the first 6 minutes, and that's why they drew those two penalties. It was more sort of fortuitous bounces and fortuitous luck that the Jets couldn't capitalize on. Second period begins. It's more of the same. Jets not keeping pace with the Oilers. Jets struggling. Oilers winning every puck battle. The race to every loose puck. Basically just, you know, having an extra step on the Winnipeg Jets for whatever reason. And I know I've heard a lot that it's, you know, 3-4 nights and 4-6 nights. You know, that's you can't hang your hat on that. You know, the schedule is what it is now because of the postponements, many of which True North as an organization requested, you know, so that they didn't have to play those games in front of an empty arena. So the compacted schedule is to some extent of the organization's own making. Never forget that part, everybody. Kyler Yamamoto scores at the 7:46 mark of the second period. It's his 10th of the year. Assist to Connor McDavid, you know, and this is a play where Yamamoto gets his own rebound and just is a quarter of a step ahead of Paul Stastny. You know, Mark Scheifele actually had a really good back check on this play against Connor McDavid. It ends up, you know, Hellebuyck makes the first save, and on the initial shot, Stastny was in a good position, and then Yamamoto was able just to get, like I said, that quarter of a step ahead and sort of chip it up and over Hellebuyck on his own rebound, and it's 2-0 Edmonton, Dave.
Yeah, and it was, you're right. You know, credit to Mark Scheifele for actually skating back hard and getting back into the play. You know, not easy when you're going up against 97 on the Oilers, but, you know, I thought he recognized that there was a problem there and he needed to get back. And instead of, you know, and you know, like you said, Drew, it's unfortunate for the Jets, but the puck goes right onto the Yamamoto stick and he puts it up and over. And at that point, you find yourself and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, it's 2-0. This is not a good situation for the Winnipeg Jets. And like, it's one of those breakdowns that you just can't afford to do because you're already in a precarious situation. Mm-hmm. And Seattle, the Oilers are not Seattle. And the difference between the Oilers and Seattle is Seattle's
holding on. David and Draisaitl.
Well, and you know, the Oilers are also feeling very good about their game. And they, you know what, quite frankly, they should have been after the way they were playing the Jets for the first 40 minutes of that hockey game. So they're feeling very confident. So a 2-0 lead for the Edmonton Oilers is a much different animal than a 2-0 lead for the Seattle Kraken. Now, I know the Nashville Predators had a 2-0 lead, and they were playing well, you know, when the Jets got them in Nashville. But you know, at the end of the day, it's still a situation you're putting yourself into that you're not showing the bounce. And that's what you needed to see. You know, like you said, Drew, you could have been down a lot more after 20 minutes, but you weren't. That's a huge, like, life preserver being thrown to you. Yeah. How do you react to start the second period is what's going to be kind of the, you know, story of the game, because that's how you can kind of reestablish, you know, dominance, or you can reestablish a little bit of a foothold into the Oilers zone. And they don't do it, and they're back on their heels, and they find themselves down 2-0.
Exactly right. And it wasn't 2-0 for long. It was 3-0, 3 minutes and 4 seconds later. Connor McDavid, his 26th. What can you say about the pass from Leon Draisaitl and Tyson Barrie getting the secondary assist? It's a 4-on-4 situation with who's in the box for the Jets here? I don't even know who's in the box. I'd have to look back. I can't even remember. It's a 4-on-4 situation. And, you know, this is just a beautiful pass by Leon Draisaitl. A backhand pass feathered through the Jets defense.
Is that Svechnikov when Svechnikov was in the box?
No. The Svechnikov penalty was in the third period. I think it's Morrissey. Morrissey. Is what it was. Yeah, it was Zach Morrissey. Hyman is in the box for holding. The Jets have the power play.
Right. And then Morrissey took the penalty against
Morrissey Aaron takes H. the penalty. That, you know, Hellebuck has to come out and be more aggressive in that play. We'll talk about that before we get to the 4-on-4 goal. You know, right. What happens is Morrissey is losing the foot race, yeah, and he ends up having to take a holding penalty there. But if Hellebuck is more aggressive a little bit, he comes out, he plays that puck, they can recalibrate and settle down the power play. And instead of it being 3-0, well, maybe it's still 2-0 and the Jets are on the power play. I don't know if that's a case of Hellebuck being gun shy because of the puck handling woes of Thursday night against Seattle. I don't know if that's just him not being sharp and recognizing and picking up on the situation there, but he sort of, you know, left Morrissey a little bit out to dry. And obviously Morrissey took the penalty there that ended up with the 4-on-4 situation, which ultimately ended up with Connor McDavid scoring his 26th of the year. The Jets just were watching too much there, watching the puck as opposed to, and you can't just let Connor McDavid loose in space, and you know, and you're watching the puck carrier, because Leon Draisaitl will get him that puck no matter how many guys seem to be on him.
Well, and for sure, Drew. And like I said, when you have a guy of Leon Draisaitl's caliber with the puck in that spot, you know, I mean, these guys are they just know where to be. They know each other's game so well that they're able to just automatically find the other. And there's a reason why they have so much success. And they you know, eat other teams for lunch when it comes to the power play and that sort of opportunity. And we talked about, you know, I think you said it on the show this morning, this idea of, you know, you can live with Connor McDavid scoring one.
Yeah.
But it's more just about limiting, you know, capitalizing on your own opportunities. Well, the Jets didn't create that, at least not in the first 40 minutes, to any significant degree. And so, you know, like I said, you were chasing from the get-go. When as soon as that 5-on-3 ended, even technically in the 5-on-4, because – like you said, Perlini had the best chance of anyone. You just didn't feel like this was a team that was going. Look, the Oilers have injuries too. You know, people are saying Cole Perfetti out, Andrew Kopp out. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to minimize that. Those are big play drivers for this team. There's no question about it. Andrew Kopp defensively is a very strong addition to this team. There's no question about it. You know, and Cole Perfetti, what he's doing, the confidence that he's playing at, the decision-making, could you imagine him on a power play, especially a 5-on-3, a guy who can actually effectively move the puck? That wouldn't be so bad. So
don't worry. He's on the second unit. He wouldn't get any ice time with the first unit being out there.
Well, I don't even know who's on the second unit left. It's pretty much there shouldn't be anybody left at this point. But the reality
it's Schmidt and Pionk and Perfetti.
I'm being sarcastic.
I know.
But the point is,
I mean, you look at the Oilers. Yeah. What you're going to say, I think, is that the Oilers have significant injuries just like the Jets do, particularly to their back end. Yeah, I mean, no Puljujarvi for the Oilers, no Duncan Keith. I mean, now Duncan Keith is a shell of what he used to be, but he's still important for this Oilers team.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you can say whatever you want. And you know, they have some young guys in there on their back end. They've got some vets, and they seem to be working. But I mean, we saw the cautionary tale of the Edmonton Oilers, which is you know, they snoozed and they lost, right? Because as soon as they started to, you know, have a little bit of a lapse, a little bit of some brain farts in that third period, well, that's when the Jets, you know, were able to come back on them. Now, again, it was too little too late, as we talked about. But, I mean, it very easily could have been, right? I mean, you know, and I don't want to skip ahead too far, so we'll talk about that after we get into the Jets' goals or finish the second period. But, you know, it's kind of like behavior modification. You don't want to ring Pavlov's bell and have the Jets think that this is, it's almost better that the Jets weren't rewarded with any points, because then they could actually believe in their heads, hey, we only have to play 10 minutes and we can get rewarded, versus you actually have to, rather than the standard cliche, which actually is probably something that actually matters, which is play 60 minutes. And look, you can afford, you put yourself back into position. I personally think that, you know, these teams are all going to kind of come back to the middle. And I think some of them already are. So I don't think the Jets, by losing tonight, they're done. They've got a tough test, right? We talked about it on the show. Calgary, Dallas, Colorado. Yeah. That's a very significant week upcoming. But at the same time, you know, the Nashville's are losing. The Minnesota's are losing. So even though those teams are way ahead of the Jets, if you put together a good effort against Calgary, which is, I mean, the way Markstrom's playing isn't going to be easy. You know, and I liked your comment the other day. I think it was to our friend John Mattis from the Score, when he said he was talking about Colorado and Vegas, and you said Calgary would like to have a word with you.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Flames team is very, very good, and I just think that, especially with the move, the addition of Tyler Toffoli, you know, they added some scoring, which is where they needed, what they needed on that line, and they're going to be tough. We'll talk about the Calgary Flames on Monday, but you know, the Jets just, this is a, it's, I mean, again, it's a shitty lesson to learn 49 games into the season, but it doesn't matter. I mean, like I said, it doesn't, these types of efforts don't cut it, and not playing to your ability and not playing, taking advantage of your opportunities is going to end up burning you. And that's what it did.
It's a good thing here on the Illegal Curve post game show, we always give 110% no matter what the result is. I'll tell you what, Dave M, we're going to come back and recap the third period because it was an eventful one. Let's take our break a little bit earlier than normal. Smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel. When we come back, the Jets made a game of it. Did they come all the way back? Well, you know the answer, likely, unless you somehow are watching us without knowing the final score. But we'll talk about it anyways. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve postgame show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, And it's just two blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow. So they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Jets dropping a 4-2 decision at home ice, on home ice, to the Edmonton Oilers. They head out on the road for the next four. Monday afternoon in Calgary, Wednesday in Dallas, Friday in Colorado, and Sunday in Arizona, where I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're playing in a little like bubble hockey arena. I think that's where the Coyotes are playing from now on. So you can look forward to that if that's come to fruition or not. Dave M, before we get to the third period in the Jets comeback attempt, we have to just comment or make mention that probably the best part of today's game, seeing Brian Little in the rink, and he got a great ovation, and he was with Sarah Orleski in the first period of the first intermission of the game. So it's always great to see Brian Little. We know that his career has unfortunately come to an end through doctor's advice that he not get hit in the head again after he took that slap shot off the ear. But just great to see him in the rink whenever we can, and great to see that he's able to be a dad, because that's certainly way more important than anything else, his quality of life.
For sure. I there's no question about it. That is the best moment by far. I think that, you know, Jets fans have a huge appreciation for what Brian Little brought to this team. And I mean, I you want to talk about underappreciated centers. There's a guy who's underappreciated for what he was able to do for this team consistently. So much throughout the course of his career here in Winnipeg, obviously what he was able to do in Atlanta. So just a really easy guy to when you were interviewing him in media availabilities, he was always easy to have a conversation with. Never angry, never aggressive, just, you know, said it to you straight. So, one of those guys, they call it like a, kind of a Josh Morrissey type, like a Josh solid.
The Eric Carmer. Yeah. The guys you sort of can't help but sort of cheer for.
That's right. Yeah. There's guys who, and Brian Little's definitely of that mold. There's no question about it. He was good, and he was really good. He was a good player, and he was a good person. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm actually a little surprised that they haven't tried to get him into some sort of kind of quasi coaching role, you know, at least give him some sort of role within the organization. I mean, obviously I don't know, you know, he's on LTIR, but I mean, you could in theory have him do something, with the team, perhaps. I don't know, that might be a little hard on him. It's probably not easy to be on in the building, because he's, I mean, regardless of his age and what, you know, like you said, Drew, what his medical situation is, you can only imagine how he feels being here, knowing that he'd still be playing and still be wearing his jersey.
Well, yeah, you certainly heard that in the interview with Sarah, that he said he feels great. And, you know, when you're an athlete and you feel great, you expect that there shouldn't be a reason why you can't play. But you also have to listen to the doctors who say, yes, you're feeling great right now, but if another freak incident happens or another, you know, just out of nowhere play happens in the course of the game, it could be life altering. Well, you have to really take that into consideration. But it was great to see him in the building, and I'm sure he appreciated getting the nice rousing ovation that he did from the crowd at whatever the hell the arena is now called. Let's talk about, before we get to the Jets comeback attempt, Evgeny Svechnikov. When's the next time we're going to see him in the Jets lineup? Because he takes a double minor at the 7:38 mark of the third period. The Jets are allegedly trying to stage a comeback. They're down 3-0 at that point in time. But Svechnikov takes an interference penalty, and then he compounds the error by taking an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. you have to believe that Dave Lowry, who didn't seem to be a fan of his to begin with, it's going to be a long, long time since until we see Evgeny Svechnikov back with the Winnipeg Jets and back playing a role with the Jets.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I mean, it was funny because Sean Reynolds said, I think the best thing the Jets could do, this is in advance of that, yeah, was maybe go to the shorthanded situation because that might be their best opportunity to score. Maybe he had his Nostradamus hat on, but he predicted that the Adam Lowry shorthanded goal was upcoming. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, Svechnikov is he's a gamer. I mean, I don't really understand. I don't understand having Christian Vesalainen over Evgeny Svechnikov in the lineup. I don't understand. As I said to Murat today, when I asked that question, I mean, the truth is, the line had success. And Palmer's talked about this. He said, you can't just be on there and not produce and the other guys are producing. You're not. You need to be able to do something, whether it's goals, assists, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he wasn't capable of producing. And I just think that his confidence is probably significantly decreased because he was feeling good about his game. He was feeling good about his role. And then, he was in the doghouse. And I, again, why that is with this coaching staff, I don't understand, because I just find that he provides a certain level of grit. Look, the guy's not scoring 30 goals and getting 30 assists. So you're not talking about any of these guys. I'm not putting Evgeny Svechnikov over Cole Perfetti, but I just think that, Christian Vesalainen, enough with the Christian Vesalainen as a checker. I'm so sick of Christian Vesalainen as a checker. The guy is supposed to be a shooter. You didn't draft him to be, Patrice Bergeron. If he was Patrice Bergeron, let him be Patrice Bergeron, but he's not. And so it's like, if you're Christian Vesalainen, you have to be a goal scorer. And maybe you're redefining yourselves, and maybe that's what he's doing before our eyes. But you're basically asking Christian Vesalainen to be David Gustafson. And Christian Vesalainen isn't David Gustafson. I'm not saying he can't go into the corners. I'm not saying he can't do some of the things. I just don't know that he does it as well as Evgeny Svechnikov. So I don't know why you wouldn't have. And again, this was what I said this morning. Why not go back to Dubois, Connor, and Svechnikov, which had success for you this morning, earlier in the season? So that to me is just a curious decision, because you can throw Vesalainen. And if you don't like it, if it's not going, then go back. But you know that it's had success for you. So it's weird. I mean, I just don't understand. It felt like Dave Lowry wasn't on the coaching staff when they were having success doing that. Well, it's a good question, Drew. I just don't understand. I don't know.
To your point, Svechnikov did lead all Jets with 4 hits in this afternoon's game.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the penalties will be brought up much more than any physicality that he brought to the game. But I agree. There's been no shortage of curious decisions made by Jets coaches over the last number of years. And I think that's another one that continues. The Jets did try and make it close. Adam Lowry shorthanded while Svechnikov was in the penalty box, the second of 2 shorthanded breakaways, the first by Brendan Dillon of all players. Adam Lowry does deposit the puck
in his 700th game.
Brendan Dillon in his 700th game.
Not bad for an undrafted player.
It's true. Impressive. Koskinen made that save, but then Lowry got an opportunity. And for the first time in, I believe, 25 games this year, Adam Lowry gets a goal, his 4th of the year, assist to Dominic Toninato. I'm not sure what the Oilers were doing on that power play, but it was not, how they drew it up. And it was a 3-1 game at that point, as Lowry scored with 10:45 to go. Tries for the deke. I mean, again, look, you score, so we can't really criticize, but it's Koskinen. Shoot the puck. I mean, shoot the puck on the guy. He's got a save percentage of 900 and a goals against of 3.15. When you're in tight against them, well, the guy's about 8 feet tall. I mean, I'd rather see them shooting more than trying to deke, and score through a deke. Lowry does here, but often that was sort of the momentum of Koskinen almost took the puck into his own net as much of Lowry's move was to open it up.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Drew. And Brendan Dillon, I mean, it was a funny chance. I was trying to figure out what he was going to go for with that move. It was interesting.
I think he was looking for the drop pass.
Yeah, I'm not entirely certain, but at the end of the day, if it goes in, it's hard to criticize. And you're right, Koskinen definitely brought it in with him. I mean, he may have actually made the save. It was hard to see from the angle, but regardless, I mean, when you end up that far into the net, it's going to be called a goal from the officiating crew. So, and look, Adam Lowry needed this. because all we've talked about is, can Adam Lowry contribute? And so, that's one of the things that the Jets team needs is him. And it's the opposite of the shorthanded goal we saw Dominic Toninato score the other night, because, you know, it was Lowry passing to him. Now he's passing to Lowry, and, you know, it wakes the building up. You know, the building was happy to see Brian Little and give him a standing ovation, but that emotional element is missing. I mean, you know, this is a Jets team that needs to have that. And again, I'm not blaming the crowd. If the team isn't exciting, it's hard to get excited.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, you know, that's
the crowd responds to the play on the ice. And if the play on the ice isn't sufficient, then they don't deserve to get a response from the crowd.
Yeah. And so I think it becomes a function of, you know, you get that boost. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, hold on, what do you have here? Now it feels, I don't want to say too little too late, because, you know, it's still about 9:15 left in the game at that point. Yeah. So you're not feeling like this is insurmountable. I mean, like I said, you're not playing an upper echelon team. You're playing the Edmonton Oilers. They're good. They're not world beaters. And Koskinen isn't exactly in the running for the Vezina, as you alluded to when you talked about his save percentage. So, you know, that did give the Jets a lot of confidence, and you could see it because they've suddenly started to churn. And, you know, it's one of the things that they talked about on the broadcast, right? Were the Jets going to have to open it up? And Kevin Sawyer said, like, you know, we'll see if they can get something naturally, mm-hmm. organically. And if then you do, then you allows you to open things up a little bit. So sloppy on the Oilers part. I mean, you got a 3-0 lead. You got to be a lot tighter defensively, but like you don't berate the Jets for taking advantage of their misplay. Yeah.
They made it 3-1, and then Kyle Connor on the power play. Finally, the power play succeeds. Just under 4 minutes later, 3 minutes, 53 seconds later, Kyle Connor, his 29th of the year, assist to Morrissey and Wheeler. And, you know, this is sort of just Kyle Connor shooting the puck through Koskinen. Not the best angle. He beats him short side. I mean, no goalie wants to get beat short side. It's a nice shot. Kyle Connor, of course, is one of the premier goal scorers in the entire NHL. But there's nothing to write home about here. This shouldn't have gone in, per se. But all of a sudden, it's 3-2. And there's still, you know, 5 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game. The Jets have, you know, do have a pulse. They had, you know, they were on life support when the third period started. They were being, you know, their last rights were being given when they took the four minute penalty. Now they have a strong pulse with 5 minutes plus to go. Unfortunately, that's as close as the Jets are able to get. The Oilers do a pretty good job, including another shorthanded opportunity. You know, with the Oilers bewilderingly take a too many men on the ice penalty with 2 minutes and 5 seconds to go. I mean, I don't know what the Oilers were doing in the last 10 minutes of that game, reminiscent of game 3 of the playoffs last year, where the Jets came all the way back from being down 4-1 with about 8 seconds to go in the game or whatever it was. But the Jets aren't able to complete the comeback. Really got scrambly there at the end, and it ends up 4-2 as Darnell Nurse. I don't know what that you were playing there, Dave M. Was that coming up through on your end?
No,
nope. No. Okay. I don't know what that was. Maybe it's on my end. In any event, with Darnell Nurse hits the empty net with 3 seconds to go. And that's all she wrote for the Winnipeg Jets in their attempts to come back against the Oilers. They lose 4-2 this afternoon. They drop in the standings now, and depending on the results of the rest of the games today, they could be as low as, you know, 7 points back of a playoff spot after finally getting within 3 points after Thursday night's contest against the Seattle Kraken. The Jets dropped to 22-19-8 on the season, with Monday's afternoon's tilt in Calgary next up, a very important game against the Flames, a Flames team that has been, I mean, they've been the class of the NHL since the All-Star break, the class of the Western Conference since the All-Star break. If the Jets only play 10 minutes against the Flames, look out. They need the cliche 60-minute effort, but that's absolutely what they need.
Yeah, and, you know, just going to the Kyle Connor goal, I mean, it's his 29th goal of the year, right? And he is 29 goals in 49 games. You know, he is on pace for, you know, 45, 50 goals this year. It's phenomenal what we're watching here with Kyle Connor. I mean, his career, I mean, he potentially could have done something like that before, but for him, you know, I think he was 37 or 38 as his career high, 38 maybe. is his career high, and
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's going to smash that most likely. And like I said, he could finish, you know, chasing 50, and that's an impressive number for the Michigan man. And he has had a hell of a good season. And look, the Jets, before we get, you know, to the nurse empty netter, I mean, the Jets did have a chance. Mark Scheifele had a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm confused as to how, you know, Scheifele and Morrissey are kind of gassed at the end of the power play, and they clearly get taken down by Hyman, which should have been the whistle should have gone.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go. So Scheifele slashes Dreisaitl's stick, breaks the stick. It's hilarious because they call the penalty on Morrissey.
Yeah.
And then they call, but I mean, really, if the Hyman penalty is already called, realistically, it should be a 5-on or 6-on-4. And instead,
I think the word you're looking for there at the end, I think what you're looking for at the end there was a bit of a gong show.
Yeah. It was, and yeah. I know that people were complaining about the refereeing today. And, you know, I mean, death taxes and complaining about referees are seems to be go hand in hand in hand. So, not terribly surprising, but yeah, it was a curious decision because, like I said, but for the, you know, the trip, you're not having the slash, and so it meant that in my mind you should have called it. And as soon as he touched the puck, should have been over. Anyways,
the domino effect, I mean, if you will.
Yeah, but I mean, look, what I'm ultimately getting to before that even transpired was the fact mm-hmm. that look, the Jets had chances. Mark Scheifele in his wheelhouse, you know, trying to go high. Josh yeah. Morrissey, same place, trying to go high.
And I thought it was still a little too cute, though. I thought get the shot through in that instance at that stage of the game where yeah. the Oilers are a little bit probably on their heels because all of a sudden the 3-0 game has become 3-2. Just get the puck through to the net. You don't have to pick a corner. I mean, picking a corner is nice, but it's obviously a lot more difficult. Get the puck through. You should have a numbers advantage when it comes to the goal mouth scramble. And get, you know, try and jam it in on a jam play, and it's going to count just the same as if you do successfully pick that corner against the goalie who's quite big. You know, yeah. Just again, I thought a little too cute almost throughout the entirety of the game for the Jets.
And Drew, I actually agree with you. I mean, like I said, there's time and places for what Blake Wheeler did the other day where he held the puck and then fall on Mark Scheifele for the goal. But there's other instances where sometimes you just throw it on the net and you try and create some chaos, and you have people in front and like Zach Hyman left unmolested in front of, you know, Connor Hellebuck. Maybe you have Pierre-Luc Dubois. Maybe you have Adam Lowry. Someone big, someone who's creating, taking away his eyes, creating some chaos, maybe bangs home a puck. And you're right. It was too cute by half. And unfortunately for the Jets, they weren't able to get that sort of rebound opportunity to be able to tie the game. Instead, like you said, or like I said, and you were talking about as well, the idea is that pucks are going, they're shooting them high and they're rimming the boards, and then you're late to kind of corral it. So, you know, it wasn't ideal. And again, like I said, it's probably a good thing for this Jets team, as crazy as this sounds, to not be rewarded for playing 10 minutes and getting a point out of that game, because I mean, talk about creating bad habits and laziness. This is it's a cautionary tale. Show up at the beginning, take advantage of your opportunities. And if you do, you know, think about how different this game is if you score one or two goals and you take a 2-0 lead on the Oilers, and suddenly you're in their head. Because, I mean, I think you said the stat this morning on the show, right? The Jets were 5-0-1 coming into tonight's game. That was you, wasn't it? On the
against the Oilers in their last six games, yeah. Against the Oilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the playoffs last year. Yeah. 5-0-1. That's right.
So 5-0-1. And again, like I said, like, not that the playoffs from last year really are relevant at this point in the season, but the truth is you have a bit of a, you're in their heads a little bit. And especially if you take that lead, and to be honest with you, what happens when you take the lead? The crowd gets excited.
Sure.
Otherwise the crowd is anemic. Like, what is the crowd going to get excited for? Some Yahoo with a cowbell? Like I kind of liked the cowbell initially. Right. Like, I kind of thought, oh cool, the cowbell. After a while, it's like, enough with the fucking cowbell. Like, I get it. There's a cowbell. It's enough. Chill. And it's like, the problem is, it's not enough to get people going. And again, I don't know what will. I mean,
good play on the ice.
Well, for sure. But if you don't have that, how do you manufacture it? You know, we see it with our boy, Cameron Hughes, Cameron Cheers from Ottawa. He's the guy who wears a t-shirt, starts dancing, gets the crowd going. Yeah. But you can only do that so many times, right? You got to get figure out. I mean, and I think that's part of it. I mean, because remember, this is hockey is no longer just about what's happening on the ice. Traditionally it is, and traditionalists would say that, and they'd be like, oh, well, who cares about the stuff that's going on around the you know, the rink? Well, the truth is people do. And when you're paying $300, $400, $500 for a pair of tickets, mm-hmm. you want to be entertained. And if the product on the ice isn't entertaining you, you kind of have to be entertained by what's going on off the ice, because otherwise you'll take your disposable income and you'll do something else with it. And so it is incumbent on them to figure something out, because I really do wonder about the atmosphere in the building. And don't get me wrong, it's better with the fans, and I'm happy to see fans back in the building, but you need to do something more for engagement. And I personally, like I said, I just think it needs to be, oh, I'm sorry, Beer League likes, he likes the cowbell. He wants more cowbell. Maybe you need more cowbell.
And James Robinson has got a fever, and Beer League has the answer. It's more cowbell.
Ah, there we go.
There you go.
It's the so Paul, well, Paul Adet agrees with me. He says he agrees with me about the cowbell. Anyways, so the point is, like I said, you know what? Let them cheer about the on-ice product, but if you don't have that, you got to get them engaged somehow. So
there you go. Jets dropped the 4-2 decision this afternoon. Next in action on Monday afternoon. The post-game show on Monday will be right around again the same time, 5:45 p.m. thereabouts, back here on our Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Before we wrap up this afternoon's post-game show, I want to give out the hardest-hitting comment in tonight's post-game show. It goes to James Robinson for his comment. It's on the screen there. Did Logan Stanley hit anyone tonight? If Stanley is going to play, he should at least use his only assets. Otherwise, play Ville Heinola. To answer your question, James, Logan Stanley was credited with one hit tonight in the contest and in 15:08 of ice time, and I did not think that he was particularly good for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. So, James, that is the Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment. Congratulations. Send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, or send me a tweet into my DMs @ICDrew, and we'll get you hooked up with a toque from our friends at Tough Duck. While we're thanking our sponsors, we also want to pay tribute to our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Maybe you need to laugh tonight after watching that Jets game. Rumors has two shows. Shane Gillis is the comedian. Tickets available, rumorscomedyclub.com. I believe the shows are going to be starting. The first show is in about 40 minutes or so, and then the second show is around 9 o'clock tonight. So get your tickets now if you're looking for something to do on this blustery night. It's always warm in the basement at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Also want to say thank you to Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Postgame Show, and of course the website, illegalcurve.com. Before you leave tonight, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us some feedback, both on YouTube and on the podcast. Always like to hear from our audience about what they like and what they dislike here on the program. And okay, Dave M, you got your finger up. What are you saying, buddy? Finish it up strong. My dinner's almost here.
All right. Well, I'll be quick, Drew. I believe we've accounted for the Moose tickets for Sunday and Monday. I ended up getting tickets for four for Sunday, four for Monday. But in case those people fall through, because I'm trying to make it work, if you want to go, send me an email. Let me know if you can go Sunday or Monday. I can't guarantee that I've got the tickets available. They may already be spoken for. I'm waiting to get some emails back. But if people are interested, tomorrow the bobblehead is game, Mikael Burden. Monday is superhero day. Drew has bobblehead. It's great. Then and then superhero day for on Monday. So we'll see what if anybody's interested, let me know. Dave@illegalcurve.com or IC Dave for, and there's unbelievable tickets right behind the visitors bench. So make sure you have some sort of Illegal Curve sign. You can hold it up. Let us know that you're enjoying the game.
There you go. Appreciate that, Dave M. Appreciate all the support. It's a doubleheader Saturday here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. 9 a.m. this morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This afternoon with the Illegal Curve postgame show. In case you missed any of it, the replays and the podcasts are available. Thanks so much to everyone for joining us. Until Monday afternoon, Monday evening, right around 5:45 p.m. For Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We wish you good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.